you brought a Bible, turn to Psalm 46 is what we will read. And after we pray, we'll expound that. Hello, we're glad to see you this morning. Hi, good to see you. All right, these are not Baptists. You notice I went straight to the front row. So we shall pray, then we shall expound Psalm 46. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is that we can come and rejoice that we know you, and we can show our happiness and our inner laugh machine is still working, because we're going to win. In fact, we already have, because of you. Thank you that none of our people were in automobile accidents or that kind of thing. I ask that you be with Johnny and touch him and take that cancer away. I ask that you continue to be with Mary, and that if you want to heal her, that will be a miracle, and we will appreciate that. If not, the other miracle takes place, and she immediately is in your presence. Both ways you win if you know Jesus. We thank you so much for the people who gather here, Lord, to hear the Word of God and to hear preaching that is not faltering and is not worried about being tolerant and not worried about hurting anybody's feelings. We are not worried about being politically correct. The only person I care to please is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to do that. Help me as we expound the Scriptures. Be with me, as I always asked last night, to guide my reins in the night season, that what I would say, if it's what you would have me say, fine. If not, please impute to me what you would have me say, that we may reach somebody and bring them closer to you, and that we may reach the lost if they are here or within the sound of our voice. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you because it was you who set us totally free. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Amen. So we find Psalm 46, and don't worry, Lewis will be back to sing. He said he didn't bring any music. I said, you're not going to sing for us? And next time he will. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. O Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I'm sure you've read Selah after a lot of statements in the Bible and paragraphs in the Bible, and you played like you knew what it meant, and you didn't. What Selah means is think on these things. Stop there a minute and think of what has just been said. And this morning we wanted to expound a few short words, and that is be still. And know that I am God. And you can take be still and know that I am God and go a long way with that. This is the Lord God Almighty, the Almighty Powerful One, the Everlasting One, the Eternal God, saying be still and know that I am God. For see, if you will believe that and put that in your heart and mind, then none of these terrible things that have been described that are going to happen will bother you. And nothing else will really bother you. And you say, well, I've been bothered, so-and-so. My brother's got cancer. Johnny's got cancer. Mary's got cancer. So-and-so lost their job. This man's wife left him. And on and on and on. And the psychiatrists say if you could get in a circle of 10 people, you can pick the people and let them all tell their troubles to you, that you'd be so glad of the ones you have, you wouldn't know what to do. Because there are some real troubles out there, and you've had some, and I've had some. And I've been to the point where I have to say, look, be anxious for nothing. Are you sure? Don't let anything bother me, Lord. Are you certain? He said, turn to Psalm 46. Be still. Be quiet. And know that I am God. And if there is a God, and there is, and he's all-powerful and omniscient, knows everything, and omnipresent, is everywhere, who can dare stand against him? In the last week or so, we got 9 people who think they're the Supreme Court. How sad are they going to be when they have to stand in front of the Supreme Court? And they have to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for their sin and their foolishness. We will find out who's God Almighty. We will find out who Supreme is. And we'll find out what the real judge has to say. And once he makes his judgment, there's no going back. There's no appellate court. There's no amount of extra lawyers you can bring in. What's said in front of him is what's done, and that is the end of it. The elevator he puts you on to go down doesn't come back up. And people say, well, that's, you know, kind of country preaching. Yes, God's country. God's country. See? This country is on the verge of forgetting who God is. Already has, as a matter of fact. They put more power in the Congress and the Senate. You remember them. They meet in Washington every now and then. I don't know what they do, but they don't. But they have a lot of good meetings. They, you know, they call them to attention and blow the horn and do everything. Can you imagine such a thing? A man who will approve of a man marrying a man is a fool. Amen. Why would he be a Supreme Court judge? Why would he be put in charge of a dog? This man has turned his back on righteousness. This man has faced the Holy One and said, I'm smarter than you are. I can figure things out better than you. I am smarter than you. Reminds me of the old story. The devil came to the Lord Jesus and said, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I got a good crowd with me. I took a third of your angels. And Jesus said, I know that. And I'm causing a lot of sin. That's my game. And you look down there and watch them. He said, I've been watching them. You're right. You're exactly right. He said, I'll tell you what. Said, I'm going to challenge you to a contest. Meet me here Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. And we'll see who can make a man. Said, I believe I can make one. I know you made one. I believe I can. Jesus said, see you at 10. So they met at 10 o'clock Tuesday morning. And the devil said, well, we're here. You ready? And the Lord said, yes, I'm ready. He said, okay, you made your man. You going to stick with Adam? He said, yeah, I'll stick with Adam. Make yours. And the demon said, well, step out of the way and I'm going to get some dirt. He said, no. Got to bring your own dirt. Yeah. You don't have any dirt. You're not a creator. You were created. You don't have my intelligence. Only I do. I am the omniscient one. I know everything there is and everything there's going to be. Don't be so foolish as to come against me with your meager mind, thinking you are going to correct my holy words. It's not going to happen. And I'm tired of arguing with the idiots, so I don't argue anymore. I just say, so you don't believe in creation? No, I'm an atheist. Well, congratulations, you're going to hell. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I do, and the Bible does. Well, I still don't believe it just because you do. I said, well, Jesus Christ said this is the living word of God. Don't call me a liar. When you see him, call him what? We'll see how far that gets you. See, political correctness has got people really believing there's no judgment. It's got people really believing that you can push that envelope as far as you want to. I said, that new law has got me, Jimmy G, you about old as me, aren't you? I'm 78 now, and I'm not a lawyer, but near as I could figure out, Bruce Chitlin Jenner, or what's his middle? Caitlin. Bruce Caitlin Jenner is now eligible to marry himself. I mean, can you see that any other way? Happy honeymoon, Bruce. Oh, can you believe the United States of America approved that? And most of the people you pass on the street think that's fine. What happened to the family? What happened to a man and wife? What happened to one man for one woman for a lifetime bondage? I shouldn't say bondage, should I, honey? I was say togetherness. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, what happened to all that? Apathy. Don't care anymore. Average American never thinks that there's going to be a judgment for his sins. As a matter of fact, they're being taught in school now there's no such thing as sin. Why should he worry? You can't be judged if you do nothing wrong, and we're politically correct and tolerant, therefore we don't see wrong in anything. I almost threw my shoe through a TV last night. I'm sitting there watching, and a guy that has crossed our border illegally has been deported 5 times, decided he'd shoot a beautiful young lady in California in the back, and she fell dead in her daddy's arms. And one of the politically correct whatevers said, no, we don't want to turn this over to the government because we don't want those people to live in fear. Is it really that bad that you can kill somebody and nothing's going to happen because it may scare somebody else? How did we get there? Apathy and ignorance, not caring and not knowing. You watch Waters World, you watch that? I like to watch that. And those, I said, surely one week he's going to find somebody intelligent. Surely he'll find one. And he hadn't this year. Maybe they'll show up next year. And he hits one guy and says, I believe that the problem with our country is apathy and ignorance. And the guy said, I don't know, and I don't care. Isn't that where most of the people you know sit? We've come down to me. Me, mine, our. First words out of a baby's mouth are what? Mine. Give me that bottle. Take care of me. Don't leave me, mama. Bring me food. We have come to that point where it is all about you. And the sad story is, it's not about you at all. How sad. Lost, undone, sinful, unholy, unrighteous, an abomination, a stench in the nostrils of God is explained in the scriptures, and you're going to vote for that? I wanted to cry for that logo. I don't know who she was, a beautiful young lady, looked to be 25 years old or so. Died in her daddy's arms, shot in the back by no good low down and meeting in the bathroom. I'll give you the rest of the words. I'm telling you the truth. How did we get there? Well, we want to please everybody. We don't want to make anybody mad. We want to be nice to everybody. Why? Christians are supposed to be nice. That's just supposed to be your nature. You're an imitator of Christ and a follower of the Lord Jesus. Why would you be anything but nice? But do we have to make a law to make you sociable? To make you eligible to just say hello to? Had to be some kind of law for that? And if you think, I laughed yesterday. Out of that long line of traffic. I don't know where they were going or where they came from, but I hope they're there. I mean, there was a million of them. And there was two good old rednecks in pickup trucks driving side by side in Socrates with Confederate flags half big as this building. They just wanted somebody to say something about it, see? Now, if they write that up, they'll talk about how terrible that was, how bad that was. Why? Regardless of how they think, don't they have a right to think it? Why is it only one side gets to express their feelings? Why is it only one way, their way, and we're ignorant? How do we get there? Send your college, your age kid to college. You send your grandchild to college. May God have mercy on you. They're going to try to steal whatever faith that child has, and you're going to pay them $40,000 a year to do it. Don't do it. Well, what would you do? Send them to a community college, get them in Bible college after that, and be an example to them in your home of how you had to live, and everything be all right. Everything be all right. Well, we just have so many people now, and there's no father in the home. You want me to really tell you how not to have children? Can you not figure that out yourself? If you can't afford a child, don't have one. Well, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Yeah, I guess so. He's going to hurt our pocketbook. How many people here really believe we're going to pay that $20 trillion off and be a good nation again? $20 trillion will. The media will drive you crazy. We got seven people bitten by sharks up on North Carolina, right across the line there. None of them were bitten bad. One of them lost an arm. But a bad bite is when a great white gets you in his mouth. What did they show on TV? A 2,000-pound great white coming out with a walrus in his mouth. There aren't any of them in North Carolina. And you shouldn't go swimming till those sharks go back out to the waters they want to live in. See, after the first one, I don't know how the other six got bit, do you? I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I don't know how the other six got bit. Stay out of the ocean if the sharks are biting people. How hard is that? Well, I just thought, no, you're incapable of thinking. You followed the crowd one more time. My dad used to teach me coming up. He said, son, even a dead fish can swim downstream. Just follow the crowd. You'll be there. You know, there they go. But every time they've done that, they've ended up in disaster. They don't follow the crowd. You follow what's in this book. Well, they'll think I'm an old fogey. They're going to think you're a hellbound fogey if you don't. Well, I wouldn't want to embarrass my neighbor. That's right, embarrass Jesus instead. And when you stand before the judgment, he who is going to say to you, just be still and know I am the judge. I will decide what happens to you. Quit wailing and quit crying and quit digging your nasty toes in my golden street. I'm getting ready to send you to hell. Well, you're supposed to love everybody. Well, no, you're supposed to love me. I never promised anybody a free ticket to hell, heaven. I gave you an offer to go stop by the cross and pick up a ticket if you wanted one. But you wanted to do it your way. Now let me give you a prophecy. I don't prophesy much, Lewis, but even that, and I have to give a prophecy. It won't be very long at all till you see a major denomination put a preacher in a pulpit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with his husband in the choir. You watch it. And anybody who will attend the church like that has no idea the condemnation they're bringing on themselves, for you were part of it. Okay. I love the church in Charlotte. I had a friend who lived on the same street there, out near Queens College, a wealthy area of Charlotte. And it's that old gray stone church. Anybody know the name of it? Doesn't really matter, but beautiful. It's one of the prettiest churches in the country. And they have a membership which is quite educated and quite wealthy, and you know, white trash like me and you can't go. And they will be loaded up in there and announce they have a treasurer of the church who is a lesbian. The Southern Baptist said, not our church, and stepped in and said, you are no longer eligible to be part of the Southern Baptist denomination. I clapped for him. I said, thank you. Well, isn't the church open for all? Not really. Salvation's open for all. The church is open for you to come in and learn how to get your nasty self cleaned up by the blood of Christ. That's what the church is for. I really love that the black bishop down in Greeleyville, bless his heart. And they just had a big fire. Did you see it on television? The big church was burned. It was burned once before by the Ku Klux Klan. They better get used to the fire. And they burned this church. Now, 20 years later, it burned, but we think the lightning got it. And the news reporter, which they send out, who generally don't know anything, especially about theology, they said, well, preacher, are you going to rebuild the church? And I love that old boy. I'd love to go give him a big hug. He said, son, that's not the church. That's the church building. The church is the body of Christ, all who have accepted him as Savior. And, you know, the media turned into Porky Pig. Beep, 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 beep. Didn't know what to say. See? God bless a man who'll stand up like that. You say, if you be still and know, will that take care of his church? I don't know, but by Wednesday he had about $9 million sent in by people he didn't even know to rebuild that building. You have to understand that be still and know was a command here. God said, look, the Jews had telling him all his trouble, what happened, and we've said, oh, it'd have been down on us, and we'd been through with this. And he finally got tired of it and said, be still and know that I am God. Understand who I am. My daddy could do that. He didn't have to say a word. He'd just have to say. And me and my brother would shut up and quit throwing sawdust and act like we had some brains in our head. Didn't have to do that. Well, God's never told me to be still and know. Yeah. Yeah, you just didn't listen. You've heard about that still, small voice within. That's the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you, saying, please don't do that. Don't take me there. Don't get into that, because I love you, and if you take me there and get into that, I'm going to have to come down on you. That screaming, be still and know I am God. Nothing is hid from my eyes night and day. No thought you think or is going to think will pass by that I don't know about. back up and understand exactly who I am, is what he's saying. And you've been there, and if we took time to have the sad stories, we'd get plenty from everybody. Well, you don't know how bad it was. My wife left me, and bye-bye-bye, and boo-boo-boo. We know. Be still. And know, if you love God, he'll take care of it. I had a friend here, saw him up at Ducks. And he said, well, Beaver, I'm having trouble. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, well, my wife's leaving me. I said, congratulations. I know her. Boy, you won that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And about a year later, he said, you know, you were right. I said, yeah, I know I was right. I know I was right. See, you know where all that comes from? You women do most of it. Your good Christian mama or daddy or uncle or preacher said, I wouldn't get involved with him if I were you. And you think in your stupid mind, I'll change him. Yeah, right. You tell me if he still throws his underwear and socks on the floor. That he doesn't take the garbage out, not when it's half full, when it is spilling over. That's what we do. That's how we operate. God's told you, told me, been in a bunch of trouble. Because God said, don't. And I said, I'll handle it. And he said, fine, have at it. Man, let's see you go, boy. And it only got worse and sadder and hurt more. Same at your house. Same at your house. You say, well, I lost the business and it cost me. And I was talking to my friend Joe Mullins about a friend of ours. I saw him at the highway out here and I said, Tom, good to see you. He said, let's go up to Bullinose and eat breakfast. And I said, good. Got some money on you, hadn't you? And he said, yeah. I said, good. I mean, you got the check, right? I ain't paying. And so we sit down. He said, Beaver, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? He said, I just lost $6 million. How? He said, I had $6 million worth of stock in this company. My partner said, don't take any out. It makes the stock look bad and other people won't buy it. And it cost me $6 million. That's got to hurt a little. He had never had $1 million before, and he certainly doesn't have one now. Let me help you. If by chance you happen to get $6 million, put one in the bank for just rainy days. You know what I'm talking about. How can a man be so stupid? Didn't go to God. Went to himself. I'll do it. God's told you, don't go into that. And you went anyway. Don't fool with her, and you did anyway. Don't have business. The Bible tells you, do not go into business with a lost man. People do it every day. Then he steals all the profits, and you cry. Why did you cry? You the fool. God told you not to do it. You did it. I often tell people, you're going to hell. You know that, don't you? On their deathbed. Why, you wouldn't tell anybody that. That's where you better tell them, because they're going to be gone in a minute. And I told one, Don Reed, Joe. Don's in the hospital up here. He's got everything wrong from dandruff to athlete's feet, and he's dying. Right? He is doorknob dead. I'm looking at him. It's over. And told him so. I said, Don, been friends a long time, and I know that you know everything. I mean, I'm well aware of that. I've talked to you for years. But do you know you're going to hell if you shut your eyes up here and don't open them again? Well, you don't know about me. When I was young, I said, I know about you when you was a teenager through 50, and you're qualified to go to hell, and you're going. Do you really want to go to hell? told me right now, I want to go to hell. Say it. If you believe it, say it. They won't say it. They become a well, you see. Will you see? Will you see? Will you see? Have you seen my medals from being in Sunday school? They're not going to help you. And I said, Don, don't do that. Listen to me, boy. You're dying. Two of his friends came from Alabama. They grew up with him in Charlotte. Drove all the way up here to go to rest home over in Tim. Same thing. Wouldn't listen. Now he's in hell. Right. Well, you're not very tolerant. I'm not the one that decides that. I'm the pizza delivery boy. We got us a pizza. Was it yesterday? We celebrated the 4th. We do that. Put barbecue sauce on a pizza. Saves a lot of money. You don't have to light a fire. And so we eat the pizza. And I was thinking we paid the fella and he left. And I said, well, that's what I am. I'm a pizza delivery boy. That man left my house and he doesn't know if I ate that pizza, gave it to the dog, threw it in the trash. He don't know what I did with that pizza and he doesn't care. Right? He got his money. He did his part. That's all I do. Tell me, you don't care if I go to hell? I care, but I won't think of you again, to be honest. It's just like when you hold a funeral. You hold a funeral up here, and Ken Smith told you from right here. He said, well, you know how they do. They have your funeral on Tuesday, and then they all run back to the church fellowship hall and eat pimento cheese sandwiches, and by Thursday, nobody can remember your name. It won't be that with me. What does it matter if they all remember your name? You're still gone. If you're going to get selfish about Jesus. Get selfish to say, I'm going to believe, I don't care what you do. You want to go to hell? Have at it. Here, I'll give you a start. Here's some matches. You don't really believe there's fire there. I'll never know.
Amen.
Never know. But there is, by the way. See? So what did we do? We decided we would tell God to be him, be still. Be still and know I'm as smart as you, God. I'm not against homosexuality. Unfortunately, my cousin is a homosexual. I said, I ain't going to help you any. I ain't going to help him any. If he don't change, he's going to hell. Write that down. Well, that's not very tolerant. I didn't make the rules. Talk to God. He said you are a stench in the nostrils of God if that's your habit. Now, you can be freed of that. All that can be taken care of as well as any other sin you did. All you have to do is trust Christ, put your faith in him, be still and say, Lord, I am stupid. I'm trying the best I can. I'm just not very smart. I'm going to turn it over to you. Try that with your next big problem. It's always worked with me. Always worked with me. And I look back and say, man, what if I had done that? And, you know, when you move a lot, you got to pack up your stuff. Miss Trexler knows that. But unfortunately or fortunately, you run across a high school annual or a college annual. And just for fun, you look her up and say, Lord, thank you for saving me from that one. Oh, my goodness. And at the time, well, I was so in love. That isn't how you spell stupid. L-O-V-E isn't stupid. And when the hardcore faggotry got together in front of the White House, you okay, Mayor? Okay. They had a big sign after that decision came down. Love big balloons. You saw them. I'm sure you saw them. Love. Said you missed it again. God is love, and he's against what you're doing. You missed love. You got in on lust. And you changed the rules because you wanted it to suit you instead of you suiting what God had to say. It was your fault. Isn't it going to be sad? And I've told 100, look, when you get to hell, don't bitch. You chose to be there. Is that plain enough for you? We'll get out of the theological terms. I know them. But is that plain enough? Don't be mad. Don't curse God. Don't throw any hot coals around. You're there because you chose it. Well, that's not very tolerant. That's right. He never said he would be. It is a fierce God. The wrath of God is terrible. And when he talks about pouring out the wrath of God on our world and on our country, it will put chills on you if you understand what the wrath of God is. If you're worried about what the wrath of God is, read the crucifixion story about 20 times and look at that movie that was so popular 3 or 4 years ago and get that and put everything you know bad about what happened there and you may get an inkling of what the wrath of God's going to be. You have no idea what's coming. And this country has simply piled it on. And they're going to be hollering, well, what happened? Well, what did we do? You know very well what you did. You turned against God. You turned against this book. You turned against Christianity. You turned against the Christians. And now you're wondering why God's upset with you. You don't have to go to him. I can tell you. You're an idiot. What happened to you? Well, I didn't know. Did you read the letters he sent you? No. Well, you read the Walmart bulletin, didn't you? See what was on sale? Yeah, I read that. Uh-huh. Well, what happened to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What happened to that reading? What happened to families that sat around at the dinner table and that before they brought out the mashed potatoes, they brought out the Bible? And Daddy said, we'll read so-and-so and so-and-so. And he may not have been a theologian, but he read the parts he knew. And he read the parts he could understand to his family and children to try to say, be still and know this is the word of God. There'll be no excuses. There'll be no second chances. There'll be no re-apps. There'll be no, well, I'll catch up next year. All that's gone. All that's over. It's a very dangerous thing to walk in these doors when I'm preaching.
Amen.
Because never again will you be able to say, nobody told me. And I try to make it up to places that I go and I've missed so many. I had plenty of time to boogie down at Harold's there for 20 years. I had plenty of time to chase all the little girls around here, there, and everywhere down here for 20 years. I had plenty of time to tell all the little dirty jokes I knew, get everybody to laugh for 20 years. And I told him at a funeral in Columbia, Billy Pack's funeral. You remember Billy Joe? And there they were, all the jitterbugs. We didn't call them shaggers then. That was a term brought in by people who didn't know and still don't. And they called us jitterbugs. And I looked at that crowd and looked in the box, and Billy was laying there and gone, over. And I got to thinking about him and some friends of his and looked out there and it was 200 friends of mine. jitterbugs. Hall of shame. Dead work. And I said, I came to apologize to you people. I had time to dance with you. I had time to party with you. I never did drink any. I was scared I'd get drunk. Somebody'd beat me up. And my daddy would have been one. He'd have killed me. And I know that I had time for everything else. Got your watch there, Donnie? All right. But I failed to take the time to tell most of you who are my friends and would call me your friend, and I'd call you my friend, and in 20 to 30 years, I didn't have time to tell you about Jesus. Boy, people got sitting up at that funeral. And I came to apologize to you. For at least you're alive and I can undo it by telling you today. But what about those friends of mine that have gone on that I didn't tell what happens to them? And whose fault is it? Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me. I remember when we started in here, right over there, that bar wasn't back there then, just a few chairs, and started preaching, and here come the devil, or one of his aides, and said, who do you think you are? All the hell you've raised down here in that group you ran with, and now you're going to come down here and preach. Son, those people are going to come in there and laugh you to scorn. They're going to get up and walk out. They're going to drink a beer while you're preaching. You crazy going down there preaching. I said, I don't think so. Because I'm going to be still and know that my God will take care of me, and there is nothing you can do to stop him. You can shoot me, but you can't stop him. And many a man has gone through here and found the Savior. Many a man's gone through here and said, isn't that ridiculous? How foolish. Many a man now is in a hole in a field, and I'm behind a pulpit still talking about the Lord. They're gone. I'm still here. What happened? Somebody took care of us. Somebody looked after us. Somebody still does. And I'm going to be here till I drop dead in this pulpit. Oh, the Lord Jesus blows that trumpet, and I'm out of here. All you got to do is be still and know that he is God. Somebody put me a little plaque up here. I see it every time I preach. It says, may the Lord be glorified. The church be edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. That's why we're here. Only reason. No fame, no fortune, no this, that, or the other. The only reason is because we took time to be still and know that he is God, and he is on our side. All you got to know. But do you know him? Has there been a day in your life where you said, you know, I've heard a lot of preaching and I've heard this, that, and the other, but I've never committed myself to Christ. I need to do that. I need to repent. and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to do that today. If you've never done that, you do that today. You don't have to come up here. If you want to, fine, I'll pray with you, jump around with you, dance with you, give you a hug, whatever you need. But if you've never done that, you do that today. Get that off your mind and get your soul washed clean with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be able to be still and know that He is God. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is for someone to present to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, that You revealed Yourself to us through so many ways, but we all have a Bible. There's no shortage of how to accept You as Savior. It's more gospel on bumper stickers these days than there used to be in churches. We're just here to thank You that I was lost and now I'm found, as was everybody in front of me and watching on webcam. They were lost at one time. I hope they're all found now. If not, may the day be the day that You touch their heart and they bow the head reverently to You and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want my sins forgiven, and I believe You're the only Savior. I call on You for salvation today, and I promise You on the Word of God that He'll keep His end of the bargain if you will just ask Him to. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for His sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a
hey! sin.